You're listening to In-House Influence, featuring some of our nation's most influential in-house counsel, created by Polson LA's Washington, D.C. office and the Association of Corporate Counsel, National Capital Region. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, including Phil Fagan, Suzanne Bissett, Sashi Kiani from Polson LA, and Shannon Graving, ACC NCR. Phil, can you give us a rundown on who we have on the air with us today, please?
Sure. Today we're going to talk to Sharifat Balagun, Chief Legal and Compliance Counsel, SECU Credit Union, then Carrie Liu, General Counsel at ProSphere, and finally Lane Blumenfeld, Chief Legal Officer, Data Driven Holdings.
Let's get to know our first guest, Sharifat Balagun, Chief Legal and Compliance Counsel of SECU Credit Union. What is SECU Credit Union? What kind of stuff are you guys doing?
We are a credit union in Maryland providing financial services and resources to the people throughout Maryland.
And where are you from originally? How many brothers and sisters? And where are you in the pecking order?
I am from New York City originally. I am one of four, the oldest of four.
Tell me a little bit about how being the oldest of four affected you. What did that do to you?
Yeah, generally, I was responsible for taking care of them, particularly when my parents were at home. They were out a lot working and juggling different responsibilities. So I saw myself as the assistant parent, making sure that they were all okay.
So you sort of took on the responsibility, huh?
I did.
What else were you up to, 8 to 14? What kind of stuff were you doing as a kid, 8 to 14 years old?
Aside from taking care of my siblings, you know, I read a lot. I also was involved in a lot of debate team activities, moot court, student government. I always knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. So anything that dealt with governance or legal, I threw myself in. And aside from that, for fun, I danced a lot.
Mm-hmm. You were involved with some shows also you mentioned earlier. Shannon?
Yes.
Sharifa, you mentioned in the green room that you're first generation American. Where are your parents from?
My parents are from Nigeria.
Why did they come to the U.S.? What did they do when they got here?
My parents came to the U.S. in their early 20s, and they came here to go to school with the hopes of after they get their education, they'll go back to Nigeria. But they ended up staying in America. And in the beginning, they did a couple of odd jobs, you know, CNA, security guard. But my mom eventually became a social worker and my dad a sales rep for the New York State Lottery.
Sounds like hard work. How did that impact you?
Well, my parents, for them, there was no excuse. They had a goal. They wanted to live the American dream. And despite, you know, people's misperceptions of them having different accents, different background, they just worked hard. They were determined. And they never allowed no to settle.
What did that do to you?
There was never an opportunity for me to have an excuse. There was no difficulty that my parents empathized with me on. And so regardless if there was a closed door, regardless if my feelings were hurt, regardless of whether I felt like something was fair, they just told me to keep on going. Life isn't fair, but you have a goal to accomplish and you just have to do whatever you have to do to get it done.
Your middle name's responsibility, isn't it?
Yes, it's a lot of responsibility. A lot of times I felt like they didn't understand, but as an adult, I see that they knew that life wasn't easy, but it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I continue to walk with.
Philip?
Age 7 to 9, you were debating people. That's pretty young to already get into arguments.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up watching shows like Matlock or watching Clear on the Cosby Show. And so I enjoyed their ability to poke holes at people's arguments, ask questions, look at how this situation is from the last situation. And my parents also told me that I talked a lot. And so it was just something that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, as general counsel, do you get to use debating skills?
Maybe not with my client is the company, so maybe not with my client as much, but maybe with outside counsel, I can use it a bit more.
You were also into producing shows. What was your role in producing the shows?
When I was in elementary school, I really took an interest in producing shows. So writing shows, I would read books like Cinderella or Snow White, and I would kind of produce it and fit with our environment. I would write out the script and then identify the different people who can serve as different roles depending on their personalities.
You're okay not being the lead and out in front?
Yeah, I can certainly be the lead. I have no problem being the lead, but I enjoy being on the outside, kind of thinking through the issues, thinking through the solutions, what can make this different, what can make this more interesting, kind of strategizing. I enjoy the strategizing aspect.
And how do you use that in your role today?
I am the only attorney at my company. And so in my role today, I spend time going through the issues on my own, doing the research, identifying the issues, identifying the key players, identifying the solutions, and then presenting it. So a lot of the work is done behind the scenes before I go ahead with the presentation.
Suzanne?
You had mentioned that you had done a lot of various school activities, but you also said that you did dance for fun. What was your role on the dance team?
When I got a bit older and more mature and more confident with my dance routines, I eventually became the choreographer. And at that point, for me, it was just about coming up with new routines and sharing it with the dance team and helping them make sure they understood the steps.
And how did being on a dance team impact you on top of all the other activities that you were doing?
For me, that was the one of the outlets that I had to be creative. I don't know how to draw anything like that, but I felt like that showed my more creative side. It allowed me to move freely. With dance, I know the rules, but it allows me to also bring in my own steps, my own flavor, my own style.
Sashi?
Yeah, and with being a choreographer, it sounds like, you know, you took ownership and you really own things. So how does that impact you today in your role?
How does that impact me today? Good question. Again, I am the only attorney, right? And so when it comes to legal or compliance questions, that is my lane. That's where I take ownership and take control. I understand the rules. Right. But I also understand where, I can bring in my own style. I can bring in my own interpretation, right, while still working with the rules. And that's how I take ownership while still bringing in my own personality.
If we were doing a good job interviewing you, what are we missing? What chunk of you don't we know? Don't we understand yet?
I've learned the importance of community, the importance of relationships, right? Growing up, I read a lot. I was smart. I knew my strengths. But I also knew that my strengths wouldn't be the only thing that would get me through. I had to rely on the resources and the partnerships around me. And when I'm at work, you know, I rely on that. I am the only attorney, right? And to get things done, unfortunately, legal is not going to be the only answer. It's just a part of it. So when I'm trying to come up with a solution, it's important for me to bring in all the different stakeholders, understanding their needs, understanding their interests, and coming up with short-term and long-term solutions based off of, you know, everyone's input.
As a kid, you had a great deal of responsibility and you knew that the responsibility was on your shoulders, or at least you took the responsibility on. And what you realized as you got older is there really is a community out there that can support you. Am I seeing that correctly?
Right. And understanding that it was really important for me to go out and start those relationships, right? Have those connections so that I know I don't know everything, right? But I need to be able to lean on the additional resources. And I'm not going to be able to tap into that unless I have established those key meaningful relationships first.
Who's got the next question?
Hey, Sherpot, you told us earlier you like to read. What type of books did you like to read when you were a kid?
I read a lot of nonfiction books. I threw myself into the characters. I felt like nonfiction allowed me to step away from reality, from the real world, the hardships of the real world, and really just engross myself in the ideal and figure out how I can bring the ideal and the fairy tale ending into my real world.
Do you still feel that need to step away? And do you do that with reading?
Funny enough, I feel like I don't read as much because that's all I do for work. And so when I step away, it's stepping away to do something more fun. Like, again, tapping into my creative side of dancing or event planning. That's where I do some of my production work.
What is the website address for SCCU Credit Union?
CQMD.org.
We've been speaking with Sherifat Balogun, Chief Legal and Compliance Counsel of SCCU Credit Union. Don't forget to visit our website at the Washington, D.C. office of Pulcinelli.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break.
And your name and organization is?
Sure. I'm Phil Fagan. I'm with the law firm of Pulcinelli, and I'm the managing partner of the D.C. office.
The managing partner of the D.C. office of Pulcinelli, which is an Am Law 100 national law firm. Philip, I had interviewed you previously, and you told us something about some sort of a medical thing you had going on 15 years ago. What was that all about?
Sort of the height of my career about 15 years ago, I developed epilepsy out of nowhere.
For some reason, Pulcinelli has a very special reputation amongst the team regarding how well the team is managed and how well the team is selected. And I'm trying to figure out what epilepsy taught you about building a team of attorneys and staff.
We're not just workers. We're all real people. And to be cohesive and to work together, we have to understand what people go through, and our clients understand what people go through, and we understand what our clients go through. So we're offering more than just pure legal advice. We're offering to be there with businesses and to help them through their problems.
So does epilepsy heighten your sense of empathy?
Absolutely. We have to understand what people are going through, particularly in the times that we right now.
What's the website address of this law firm, Pulcinelli?
Polsonelli.com.
Thank you.
You're listening to In-House Influence, featuring some of our nation's most influential in-house counsel, created by Polsonelli's Washington, D.C. office, the Association of Corporate Counsel, National Capital Region. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to get to know Carrie Liu, General Counsel of ProSphere. What is ProSphere?
ProSphere is an IT company, a federal government contractor.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is the team?
We have 500 employees. My team, I have two attorneys.
All right. And originally, where are you from and how many brothers and sisters and where are you in the pecking order?
I came from Taiwan. I have a younger brother.
Mm-hmm. So you're the oldest of two. And 8 to 14 years old, what kind of stuff were you doing? What kind of stuff were you up to?
I was busy at school. I was a team lead of the debate and sign contest. And I was the teacher aide to help other students with their homework. And I was also active at home and help my mom assembling the Christmas tree light, babysitting and selling the fishbowl sandwich and fixing a lot of different things around the house.
Mm-hmm. How young were you when you were doing that?
7 or 8 years old.
7 or 8 years old. And were you good at it?
Yeah, I love it. I am a salesperson. I think I'm a salesperson.
And what made you a good salesperson?
Because I like to talk to people, understand what they want, and then engage them and really building a relationship.
But you're selling these to adults most of the time, I would imagine, right?
That's right. That's the interesting part, because I like to know what they are thinking.
Talking confidently to these adults when you're young. How's that experience contribute to what you do today?
I think it's trying to understand what they know and what happened to their life. And then that's the way that I build the relationship, like with my clients, with my business partner. So I know what they're up to and how I can help them.
Philip?
Carrie, when we were in the green room, you talked a lot about your parents and you seemed very close with them. What did each of them do?
My father was a prosecutor and my mom was an accountant.
And what did you take from each of them that you bring to your job today?
From my dad was a discipline, was the integrity and also the commitment to excellence. From my mom was a creative and productivity, as well as the problem solving skills, project management skills.
Do you think you're more like your mom or your dad?
I would like to think I'm more like my mom, because my mom was more flexible, more approachable.
And in your work environment, do you feel like you're flexible and approachable?
I have certain principles, certain disciplines, but also I'm flexible because I think that I need to be flexible, understand my clients so that they will trust me. When they have a problem, they will come to me and I can provide a practical solution. So that's practical.
How young were you when you decided you wanted to be an attorney?
It was around 13 or 14 years old.
And what was the vision? What happened? How'd you get that?
Yeah, my father sent my brother and me to the English immersion school. Since we were elementary school, he always had a vision that we need to come to the U.S. to study overseas.
And what happened?
I studied very hard and I came to the U.S. For the law degree and practice.
Sashi?
Yeah. So how young were you when you came to the U.S. to study law?
Around in my early 30s. And then I came to the school and then work with my classmates. And I make friends.
So and what types of methods or techniques did you use to make friends and acquaintances at school?
Yeah, I work with them on the homework, the assignment, and then be active on any team projects. For my neighbors, I help them fix their stuff and then babysitting them and just whatever they need to do, I help with that.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like you use a variety of techniques to make friends and build a rapport with people.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to know people and then to help with them. So with a lot of variety of issue, and that's really make every day is more meaningful.
And how does that help you and it translate into your job today?
I enjoy my job because I can, really analyze the situation where they are and then provide a solution that they are looking for. And that's really rewarding to me.
Suzanne?
In the green room, you had mentioned that you were pretty visible in the school and that a lot of different assignments came to you. Can you talk a little bit more about what that was like and what type of assignments?
Yeah, the assignments was from the prepare for contests or, any public speech or even the English video producer. So I feel that I was visible because I was good at academic, but also I was relatable.
And how does that impact what you do now, having to take a lot of different tasks on when you were that young?
I think as a general counsel, I need to be good at almost all the legal aspects of a company's business. So I applied all those project management skills and the problem solver skills that I built when I was little or even through the adult life. So I think it's important that you can, as a professional, I can help them to a certain degree that I can. So that's something that I enjoy doing.
Earlier, you mentioned that when you were in Taiwan and you were 8 to 14, that you became the teacher's aide and that you helped everybody. It seems to me that every time that everything you're doing, you're constantly helping everybody with everything. Am I right about that?
That's right. And I think actually it's very rewarding, isn't it? I try to excel at everything. So I can have the more skill to help other people, right? And then everybody will be happy because they were helped.
Do you ever sleep?
I slept, but sleeping is just part of the process. But every day I wake up and I'm happy because I have other things to do.
So you like being engaged. You like a lot of different kinds of activity and a lot of activity, huh?
Yeah, I like to do a lot of different things. I try to learn every day. I'm intellectually curious, but also I think it's very important to be practical, apply the skill set to, deliver the result. That's important to me.
Uh-huh. What's the best part of your job?
To analyze the issue and to identify the possibility that I can get it done, and then also bring in the revenues to the company, right? Uh-huh. Everybody's happy.
Would it be fair to say you're a reasonably competitive individual?
I am not competitive. I think it's relatively myself. I want to improve myself, also improve other people's life. Then I can help with them. Then they are happy about that. So not competitive at all. Just wanting to be productive.
So you want to build a community?
I think I may.
Philip, what else are you thinking?
We talked about this a little bit. You described yourself as a crisis manager, both when you were younger and at work. Do you prefer to know what's coming down the pike, or do you prefer to deal with the crisis not knowing ahead of time?
I like to prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. I think that to enhance my skill sets actually is to help me to prepare and then come up with a plan. But I understand that everything is unknown, but that's why I need to improve myself so I can be better prepared.
So you're filled with constant improvement. You're always challenging yourself. You love a challenge, don't you?
I embrace challenges. I think everybody should, at least myself, I like to be innovative. So I always think a step ahead of me, then I can prepare. And then I like to learn a new skill. So I will be ready when embrace the changes.
Mm-hmm. Was that mom or dad that you got that from?
My father was a visionary and he was forward looking, and my mom was practical. I think I tried to learn the best part of them.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address for this organization known as ProSphere?
Yes, it's prosphere.com.
How do you spell that?
Yeah, ProSphere.
.com. We've been speaking .com. With Carrie Liu, General Counsel of ProSphere, on in-house influence. Don't forget to visit our website, Washington, D.C. office of PulseNelly.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break.
And your name and organization is?
Shannon Graving, Association of Corporate Counsel, National Capital Region.
And what's your role in the organization?
I'm the executive director.
Where are you from originally, Shannon?
Boonesboro, Maryland.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
One sister who's younger.
Didn't you tell us a story earlier about a story your mother reminded you about when you were a little girl?
My mother often reminds me that I started planning parties when I was 10. I would host them quarterly, and each one would have a theme, and I would have to be very creative on a limited budget to come up with something fun.
So you were coming up with ideas to involve all the other kids in the neighborhood, and you came up with a series of them on a constant basis. What's that have to do with your role at ACC nowadays?
It was great training for what we do now. ACC NCR hosts about 150 events a year. They've broken out into various themes. So we host a lot of CLE programs on subject matter areas like employment and real estate, government contracts, litigation. And then we host parties. So we have socials and We also host roundtables where we get to network and have shared learning, and it fits perfectly with what I did.
And what's the website address of your organization?
acc.com/NCR.
We've been speaking with
Shannon Graving, Association of Corporate Counsel, National Capital Region.
Thank you.
We're back. You're listening to In-House Influence, featuring some of our nation's most influential in-house counsel, created by Polsinelli's Washington, D.C. office and the Association of Corporate Counsel, National Capital Region. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, including Phil Fagan, Suzanne Bissett, and Sashi Kiani from Polsinelli, and Shannon Graving, ACC National Capital Region. I'd like to introduce a gentleman by the name of Lane Blumenfeld, who's Chief Legal Officer of Data Driven Holdings. Lane, what is Data Driven Holdings? What kind of stuff are you guys doing?
We provide data-driven marketing solutions for the automotive industry.
Where are you from originally? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm from Washington, D.C. I've got a younger brother and two stepsisters who are essentially my age. So all three of us are the older.
And I assume that this occurred because of some sort of a separation or divorce. What was more impactful to you? Was it the separation or the remarriages of parents? Or tell us a little bit about that period.
Separation was when I was young. The marriage is permanent. So probably the latter.
And tell us a little bit about your stepsisters in school and what was going on in the dynamic in the family after their remarriages.
My two stepsisters are essentially my age. I went to a school that had 75 kids in the grade. One of them was my stepsister, and my older sister was just a year ahead of us. So it was obviously a small knit community. And then my brother was a couple years younger than me, but he was, my full brother.
So tell us a little bit about the fact that you had to navigate a lot of relationships in a rather tight environment. What did you pick up there? How did that lay groundwork for your successful role as Chief Legal Officer of Data Driven Holding?
I think if you're in that kind of an environment growing up, you've got to fend for yourself a bit more, perhaps, than normal. You've got to have good organization skills. You got to be independent. You got to remember as a young kid, in third grade on a Wednesday, that you need to bring your blazer tomorrow to school because Saturday you're going out to dinner with the other set of parents. And so you learn to figure things out. And you're also, you don't have one set of rules. So you end up, each house is a bit different and has a different set of rules and a different way of doing things. So you were figure out how both to navigate that and also figure out how to play it to your advantage a little bit.
Yeah, but on the other hand, some of us would find that pretty confusing, having two sets of parents and two different households and two sets of rules. It sounds to me like you're pretty good at integrating a ton of data and then synthesizing it and making decisions. And did that help lay the groundwork for your role?
For me, it did. Yeah. I mean, I've always been independent at both houses. My bedroom's on the third floor in the attic. So there was I separated myself in a way, at the same time being part of a household. And I think that's true for the lawyer. You are separate. You're not selling something in a direct way as the sales force is, and yet you're part of the team. So it's you're separate, but independent, but part of a team.
Philip.
Yeah, Lane, we talked before that you had a favorite sport. What was your favorite sport?
Well, I love baseball, but I mean, in terms of playing, probably basketball.
And you were a superstar basketball player, right?
Only in my dreams. I sat on the bench most of the time.
So something happened in your senior year, and a lot of people would have taken it as a negative, but you turned it to a positive. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I would have been like the ninth or 10th player on the team, the ninth or 10th senior on a very senior-laden team. So I didn't play varsity. That's a nice way of saying I was cut my senior year from the varsity team. But rather than just not play, I ended up going back to the head coach, making him feel guilty, and then telling him I wanted to coach the junior varsity team.
So how did you handle as a teenager coaching a group of kids that were essentially your same age?
Well, more than just essentially, two of the players on the JV team were actually classmates, and one was a really good friend of mine. And my younger brother, who was a freshman in high school, was on the team as well. So I had to, learn how to coach and supervise my peers. And at a young age, that's, I think, probably harder than it is when you're a little bit more senior and have a little bit more gray hair, which someone has told me I have.
As a GC, are you coaching and supervising your peers?
Absolutely. You are both an advisor and a partner, and you are listening to, you've got a CEO as a boss, but at the same time, you're also advising them and just sort of a nice way sometimes of telling them.
One thing that you had mentioned in the green room is that 3 out of 4 of your parents were lawyers, but that you didn't want to be a lawyer growing up. Can you talk a little bit about how they influenced you and how you came to be a lawyer eventually?
And having that many parents as lawyers in Washington, D.C. is not so uncommon. They all had different areas of focus. And maybe that's why I'm a generalist. But even though I grew up essentially as the dining room table being a law classroom, I never wanted to be a lawyer, probably until I was a few years out of law school. I wanted to do foreign policy and international relations. And I looked at the law degree as a way of learning how to think like a lawyer, but not necessarily be a practicing attorney.
Shannon?
How did your interest in international relations lead you to being in-house?
I got a master's in international relations as well as my law degree. And my first job was over in Moscow in Russia in the early 90s, when a lot of young Americans were going over there to help them discover property law and democracy. And you can determine whether we were successful or not. But, you know, I found that I really enjoyed the intersection between law and policy. And that also led me, I think, to being in-house, because I found, you know, the intersection between law and business brought sort of that excitement of the multiple aspects. And it wasn't strictly advising on the law, but being able to be a business advisor and a strategic advisor, which is really what I think an in-house counsel, particularly at a senior level, is.
Sashi?
You said you were a JV coach for the basketball team when you were younger. You know, you also said that, you know, being in-house, it's not just being a lawyer, but also a business advisor and a partner. How would you say that being a coach has kind of impacted you in that role?
You have to understand your audience. I mean, for example, as a coach, I remember, you know, one of the first things I did is I went to the two seniors, my friends, my peers, and said, look, I mean, I get it. We're at the same level, but when we're in the gym, you got to treat me as the coach. You two are the captains on the team. You're the most senior. And if you're not going to treat me as if I'm really the coach, it's not going to work. And so getting buy-in and being able to work with your peers in, at least in the context where I'm the coach, is, you know, I'm the supervisor. And that happens a lot in the business world as well. So that's one thing that I took away from that really helped me to be in the role that I am now as a general counsel or chief legal officer.
Philip? Sounds good.
Lane, we talked about one of the things you attribute to your success is not taking yourself too seriously. You told us a story about when you were growing up and how they divvied up work between two houses you were living. Can you tell us that?
If you're going to be a good lawyer, you need to know how to skirt the rules a little bit. And when I was young, I complained to both my parents that I didn't think it was fair that I would have to mow the lawn at mom's house and at dad's just because mom and dad got divorced. So I didn't mow the lawn. And that worked out very well until my high school graduation, when the party happened to be at my house for the students and their parents. And I remember after the party, I went up to take a nap, came downstairs, and there were all of my four parents and lots of empty bottles of champagne. And my mom said she wanted to talk to me, her and dad, which they had never done together. They wanted to talk about the lawn. I think, you know, the lawyer has already got that sort of, you know, precondition. You're the lawyer, you know, you've got the law degree, you're serious, you're the one who makes things difficult. And so I think there's already some barriers that you have to overcome. And if you don't take yourself too seriously, I think that really helps. It makes others feel more comfortable around you. And so I think that's a really important feature, particularly mm-hmm. if you're in a serious position, if you can find the opportunities to be lighthearted about yourself, mm-hmm. That helps.
Elaine, what's the website address of this organization known as Data Driven Holdings?
All three words, Data Driven Holdings, and it's driven with an E-N there, holdings.com.
We've been speaking with Lane Blumenfeld, Chief Legal Officer of Data Driven Holdings, here on In-House Influence. Philip, can you give us a rundown on who we've had on the air today, please?
We had three fabulous guests, Shirthat Balagun, Chief Legal Officer of SECU Credit Union, Carrie Liu, General Counsel of ProSphere, and Lane Blumenfeld, Chief Legal Officer, Data Driven Holdings.
I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Phil Fagan, Suzanne Bessette, and Sashi Chiani from Polsinelli, as well as Shannon Groving from ACC-NCR for giving me instruction to questions. Hope you're providing a listening audience, an educational and entertaining show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's the Washington, D.C. office of Polsinelli.com. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.